Now, what's more individual than a fingerprint? Here's Jens Wolter to tell us.
One puzzling finding is that each individual has a unique and stable community of gut microbes that is almost as personal as a fingerprint. Studies have now tried to identify what causes this individuality and found that factors such as genetics, diet, environment, or lifestyle, or also, you know, health or physiological state, only account for around 30% of the variation. And even identical twins actually have different microbiomes. So this suggests that something unknown actually contributes to microbiome individuality. So what we tried in our study now is to determine the factors that contribute to microbiome assembly. And more specifically, we tested the hypothesis that differences in the order by which we acquire microbiomes early in life can actually cause variation later in life and the high level of inter-individual variation that we are observing.
Why do you think that the order in which we pick up microbes in this way might make a difference at all?
This is very much based on ecological theory that colonization history, or more specifically, priority effects, actually influence the outcome of community assembly. Priority effects mean basically that an early colonizer will often have an advantage because it is occupying the niche first, and it will also have an impact on the ecosystem by influencing colonizers that come later. Due to this, the order or the timing by which these members in a community arrive will then shape how the community looks in the end and how it functions.
I suppose it's a bit like if you walked into a room and there was a bunch of empty seats and there was no one sitting in any of them, you'd choose any seat to sit in. But if you walked into the same room and there were two or three people sitting down already, you might change where you sat and who you spoke to.
That's an excellent metaphor, actually, for what we are feeling. Yeah, and in ecology, we are actually referring to this as niche preemption. The one who comes first basically sits first.
Now, how did you test this, though? Because it's a nice theory, it's a nice idea, but how can you subject that to proper scientific scrutiny to find out if that's really what's going on?
So we have given this quite a bit of thought. So what we did is we used mice that don't contain any microbes, meaning they were germ-free. And these mice were further genetically identical, and they were housed exactly under the same condition using airtight plastic bubbles. So what we were basically trying to do is we controlled all of the experimental variable that we could think of. We then associated these mice with either entire microbial communities or specific bacterial strain cocktails in combination with communities, and we introduced these entities in different succession. We could specifically test if the timing and order of early life colonization influences how the bacterial community is composed.
What about the immune system, though? Because I put it to you that when I put a group of bacteria in, they might do something to the immune system, which that in turn affects the receptivity of the location for whoever comes in next.
Now, that is an excellent question, and we have actually given this quite a bit of thought. We think that early colonizers can somehow interact with the immune system and actually induce tolerogenic immune responses that would then favor this early colonization. To test for this, we actually repeated our experiments in mice that do not have an immune system and therefore, you know, cannot actually at least develop immunological tolerance to these early colonizers. And when we did these experiments in these immunodeficient mice, we still found a clear evidence for priority effects.
So what are the implications of this then? Because we've got lots of babies popping out all around the world every day. Not all of them are being born via the normal route. Some are being born by, say, cesarean section. Some are being given big doses of antibiotics when they're born, usually for very good reason. But that could therefore have, based on what you're finding, very profound effects on the future microbiome structure for those individuals.
We can make two major conclusions here. First, as you said, we get an understanding about, you know, what actually shapes our microbiome. And since we showed that the early acquisition is important, clinical practices that influence this early acquisition of the microbiome, such as cesarean sections or antibiotics, formula feeding, will actually then influence how the microbiome look later in life. So appreciation for these ecological, you know, events early in life might help us to develop different clinical practices to potentially prevent aberrant assemblies of gut microbiomes. The other main thing that we learned is that if we want to modulate the gut microbiome more permanently, we probably have to do this early in life, because early colonizers have a higher success of actually establishing themselves in the ecosystem. And not only this, these early colonization effects might also allow us to specifically alter the entire community, establish, you know, more healthy microbiomes, or prevent the establishment of microbiomes that might have a detrimental effect in the end.
Jens Walter from the University of Alberta.